Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence, and featuring Michael Santucci, co-chair of the Intellectual Property Division of the Broward Bar. From the law firm of Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, to litigate, mediate, or to arbitrate? That is the question. In the news this week, President Donald Trump wants to deny nursing home residents and their families the right to sue, a rule that was put in place last fall by the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Services. Nursing homes that receive federal funding, which is most of them, could no longer include the so-called mandatory arbitration clause in their contracts. In other words, residents and their family members were given back their right to sue. And this was reported by Los Angeles Times reporter David Lazarus on June 13th of this year. But what is mediation and arbitration, and the advantages or pitfalls of these vital legal processes? Today, we're very pleased to have Gary O'Donnell, who is Florida Bar Board Certified in Business Litigation Attorney from the law firm of Greenspoon Martyr. Gary is very experienced when it comes to mediation and arbitration. As always, I'd like to welcome and introduce our legal panel host. Good afternoon, Michael Santucci.
How are you, Phil?
I'm doing good. As I always say, it's another day in paradise. We're in South Florida.
Living the dream. Welcome to the
dream.
Office.
Thank you. You have such a wonderful office. Great coffee. And, of course, Gary Ostro. The show would not be anything without you.
Well, I think it would be, but I appreciate that. And no. Thanks for letting me be here and for me being here.
You know, and Gary Singer will be back next week, unless Gary Ostro still has him handcuffed somewhere in some basement. I don't know.
I'm visualizing that, and it's not going over well.
Yeah, put him in his underwear, but that's another story.
I won't be there.
There you go. Alternative dispute resolution, known as ADR, can have many benefits, but some pitfalls. I'd like to welcome, from the law firm of Greenspoon Martyr, board-certified attorney Gary O'Donnell.
Well, thank you for having me.
You know, Gary, my first question is, why would nursing homes want to have arbitration clause in their contractual agreements with the residents anyway?
Well, typically in a medical setting, service providers, caregivers would prefer not to be in front of a jury on cases where the quality of care might be at issue. So they're much more inclined to keep it more private in an arbitration setting.
Right.
As opposed to trying those cases.
You mean caregiver defendants?
Caregiver defendants, that's right, yeah.
But isn't that the whole point, that we want them in front of juries? That if from a plaintiff's perspective, that's what we want. We don't want them to be comfortable. I mean, maybe I'm misunderstanding the picture.
What you're saying is you should have your day in court.
Yeah, maybe I'm misunderstanding the concept or kind of.
Well, you're not going to get your day in court with Comcast if you have a dispute with Comcast.
Why not?
Because they have arbitration clauses in their service agreements.
Right. That's the answer. Okay,
right.
Fair enough.
So this is another way of requiring people with disputes to go to arbitration as opposed to a court of law.
Are they necessarily constitutional or enforceable at all
times?
Yes.
Yeah. Contractual arbitration clause has been enforceable for many years.
But the whole right to a jury trial is more of a criminal right per the Constitution, I guess, and it doesn't apply to civil disputes.
It does not.
Clears that up.
Gary, one of the arguments in favor of arbitration and, you know, encouraging contract attorneys to put transactional attorneys to put arbitration clauses in their agreements is that it saves litigants costs, that it's cheaper to litigate in arbitration than it is taking your case to a circuit court or a federal court. What's your experience on that, say?
It's going to be hugely more efficient. Arbitration occurs in a private setting. You control the process. You control how much time you have to spend on discovery, exchanging information. And the participants in an arbitration have much more control. So you're a trial attorney. You know what it's like to be on a docket. You get a call one day saying, hey, everybody's got to be in court now. Mm-hmm. And then you get there to find out that maybe it's not going to be now. So in arbitration, you get to pick your day, your spot. You have some input into the selection of the arbitrators that are going to decide your case.
The other side of the argument, though, is, you know, our tax dollars pay for judges and juries to decide cases. So now, a business owner that has to litigate in arbitration has to pay their attorneys, and they have to pay the arbitrators. And sometimes it's a panel of arbitrators.
That can get costly.
Yeah.
You're right. And you need to, if you're involved in an arbitration process or you're actually negotiating an arbitration clause, that's one thing to keep in mind is the cost of the arbitrators. Now, what you do is you measure that cost of paying at least one and perhaps three arbitrators on an hourly basis to decide your dispute versus how much you're going to spend with your lawyer in 3, 4, 5 years of litigation versus an arbitration that you may be able to get resolved in 6 months with a lot less time and effort.
Gary Astro with a question. Isn't it necessarily that the arbitration should be binding, and is it binding, or generally speaking, the difference between arbitration and mediation, if you can distinguish those, and
well,
when it's binding and when it's not?
Well, first of all, mediation is a settlement tool. So that's always non-binding unless both parties agree to make it binding. So in a mediation setting, the parties control their own destiny with the help of a mediator who facilitates that negotiation process.
But is a mediation mandatory in Florida's court system now, almost for everything, if not everything?
The mediation,
court-ordered mediation. I see that in a host of cases.
You consider that your ticket to the courtroom.
Okay.
All cases are required to mediate, but the process itself is not binding. In other words, you're required to participate in it, but nobody says you have to come out with a settlement.
But arbitration is binding.
Arbitration is more of an advocacy process in a private setting. It can be binding or non-binding. For example, you might have a dispute with someone and you may want to try out arbitration to see what another person would decide, but you may want to make it non-binding. So you actually present your case to an arbitrator, you get a judgment call, and unless both parties agree that they want it to be binding, you can still go to court.
It's almost like a mock trial type of scenario.
Very much
like.
So, yeah.
Wow, I never thought of arbitration that way. That's interesting.
Whereas binding arbitration is you get an award from the panel, and that is final.
Is it appealable?
I've seen arbitration clauses where there's a built-in level of appeal to maybe a different group of arbitrators. That's very unusual.
But typically not. It's final and binding and non-appealable.
Correct.
Interesting.
I got a personal story about Gary O'Donnell. When I got the email saying he was going to be the guest, one of the guests this week, I said, I know Gary, and I know Gary all the way back from when I was in law school. My parents entered into a contract. They had to get their deposit back.
Right.
And so my father at the time asked a family friend who happens to be one of my mentors, Dominic Miniacci. He's one of the top immigration attorneys in South Florida for the last 40, 50 years.
Sounds like a nice Irishman.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was just going to say, nice Jewish guy.
And he said, you know, this is a business dispute. This is a contract dispute. There's no one to go to other than Gary O'Donnell, and that's who he recommended. And I was in law school at the time, and I'm looking at the contract, you know, all green, and I called Mr. O'Donnell, and I said, Mr. O'Donnell, this seems very clear to me. It's contingent upon financing, and the financing, you know, so, or something like that.
Right.
And you know, Gary was very respectful. And he said, well, Michael, you don't just walk into a judge and just with no case law, nothing. He says, if you think it's so clear, give me some case law. He said, you know, there could be exceptions. There's different circumstances. You know, you have to be prepared. You don't just walk in and make a 2-second argument like that. And, you know, I did my best to do my research and anything. Anyway, the result of the case was a total hit it out of the park. My parents got 100% of their deposit back.
Wow.
And, you know, and I don't think I've seen you since then, but I've always remembered you as being a super litigator, not only from the recommendation, but also from personal experience. So,
well, thank you for that, and thank you for the research.
Exactly.
you're part of a winning team.
Yeah, he's got it down in more ways than one, man. Good job.
We'll have to get the band back together and do it again.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Hopefully we don't need you, but if we do.
Yes. So Mike's known from that day on, he's got to be prepared. Although he wouldn't have known that, and he's very prepared every time he tries a case.
I was going to let Gary say it, but Gary, I kind of proffered that story to him when I first saw him when I walked in today. And he said, you know, your dad was offered 85% of his deposit back at the beginning.
That's
and
a tough,
he said, and Gary said, that's pretty good.
Take it.
You usually don't get that. You really want to fight this? And he said, yeah.
And he got
and
it
he
all.
Fought it, and, he, wow. and he got it. And then, wow. thanks to Gary.
That's yeah. a hell of a job.
Well, it's the passion of a up and coming new attorney that isn't even past the board, trying to tell an attorney who's board certified how to practice.
But I'm sure
law.
That helped to light a fire. You know what I mean? It's all good, but it's all good. It sure but it was inspiring.
The challenge was on.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's out there. If you sue my father, he's not going to settle. So
there you go.
You better be ready.
The ADR process, that's alternative dispute resolution, is a process that actually works from mediation to the aspect of arbitration. And Gary O'Donnell, you have vast experience in both as well. But what about having the discovery process complete before you do any type of arbitration or even mediation? Is that necessary, or is it a waste of everyone's time not to?
Well, it's not a waste, but one of the points and benefits of an arbitration is that you're not going to incur, hopefully, the amount of cost and expense and time and aggravation with discovery that you would otherwise be exposed to in a court of law. And most good lawyers have a pretty good sense of the case, particularly business cases, contract cases, that they can get prepared well enough to do an admirable job for their clients and advocate the best side for a decision by an arbitrator.
Gary Ostro asking the question, what's the downside of arbitration, binding arbitration?
I think the primary downside of it is, as you mentioned, is it's not appealable. So you are living with a decision by a person, and somebody's going to decide your fate, much like a jury trial or a court. But we have courts of appeals and oftentimes multiple levels to correct errors. In the arbitration process, you don't have
I have that. A question for you, and it involves a case that I'm dealing with where my client is a nurse who was terminated from her job as a trauma nurse at a hospital. And in arbitration, she won her job back, and the arbitration order said she has to be made whole. Now, that is a relative term. There's a lot of back and forth going on right now, and she's not accepted what they're claiming is the figure, which I believe is way below what she's entitled to. There being no appellate process and nobody to appeal to, how long can this go on? And I'm really getting the benefit of your co-counsel right now. But how long can this go on, and where does it end, and who decides ultimately? One of the first questions I asked was, well, is there any way I can get fees out of this thing? And there's no provision for fees that I could find. So it looks like she's stuck with paying her own. But how does it end if we're going to dispute the amount they're offering? And we believe that she's owed a lot more, and she is, in my opinion. How does that end?
You know, Gary O'Donnell, don't answer that question. We are going to take a break, but that's an interesting dilemma. It absolutely is. Absolutely.
It is, and I'm dying to hear the answer.
You're listening to Legal News and Review. This is good stuff. I'm 96.9, 103.9, and 7:40 a.m. You guys are driving me crazy. And also on iHeart, welcome our national listeners, as well as TuneIn and iRadio Now. We're going to be coming right back.
Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, Banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome back to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Award of Excellence from the Florida Bar, featuring Michael Santucci of the law firm Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Reach them at 500law.com or 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go online to belegalbuzz.com. Once again, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
Legal News and Review is back on the air. I am the moderator for today's broadcast, Philip Bell speaking. And today we have Gary O'Donnell from Greenspoon Martyr, a fine law firm with a great reputation. You could swing a cat and probably hit an office. My God, you're all over the place. But leaving the program for the quick break that we just took, Gary Ostro had a real-life case that had to do about arbitration, because this segment is to litigate, mediate, or to arbitrate. Right now we're on arbitration. Gary Ostro, take it away.
Yeah, the question posed was and remains open, because this case is an active case right now. I had described a scenario where my client was wrongfully terminated. Post-arbitration, the order reinstated her with her job, and the order indicated she was to be made whole. I want to get a little further. I asked that question of Gary and how he would interpret that, and how much time do they have? Are there any limitations? Is there any way to reconvene or further address it?
Because they never stated an amount.
They never stated an amount.
To be made whole.
And the figure they're coming up with is bare bones, and the document they provided was ridiculous series of numbers.
Gotcha.
But it was a series of numbers that nobody could understand, with all these deductions from her pay over the year she was absent or terminated. Impossible to interpret. So I don't know how long this can go on. It seems endless. I want you to answer it for our listening audience and for my benefit as well as my clients.
Sure. So if you get an award and it seems to be unclear in some respect, you can go back to the arbitrator and ask for greater specificity. In your case, I suspect that if you were to do that, the arbitrator might say, well, I've ordered that she be reinstated, and I've ordered that she be made whole. We don't know what evidence was presented, but if the evidence was presented that she hadn't worked during that period of time, and assuming there wasn't a claim for some type of emotional damage or other out-of-pocket expenses, then to me I would go back and calculate the amount of income she would have received. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that calculation should be that difficult. You may be entitled to attorney's fees, and you probably would want to claim you're entitled to interest.
Where would the support for the fee claim come from? Under what authority would I be claiming entitlement to fees? I looked at it. In fact, a friend of both Michael Santucci and I, who's a newly sworn-in attorney, Tiffany,
yep,
is working on it for
all
me.
Right,
excellent.
All right.
Where would I look to see for support for me to claim fees? I couldn't find it anywhere.
Well, there may not be. But where you would start is whatever document that arbitration clause is in was probably an employment contract, and oftentimes employers want to include a fee-shifting provision. And even if it just goes one way, if the employer says, if I win, I get my fees.
That's enforceable?
It's enforceable, but it's enforced both ways under Florida statute.
There's a collective, this is my last question, there's a collective bargaining agreement. Is that something that may be relevant in terms of the rules of arbitration, or the arbitration is separate and distinct?
well, collective bargaining agreements could have their own arbitration procedures under federal law, under the National Labor Relations Board. Yeah.
Okay. Appreciate the answer. It's more than I
sounds like an interesting case.
It is, and it's ongoing, and it's going to be an interesting outcome.
And congratulations on the win.
Thank you. Yeah.
Gary O'Donnell, you know, since the theme is arbitration, mediation, or litigation, do you have a war story or what was the longest mediation you ever sat through?
probably 3 days. Mm-hmm. And
as a litigant or as a mediator?
No, I don't mediate cases.
Okay.
No. So I was a participant in the process. And we were in the Broward Convention Center. There were that many parties involved, and we brought a mediator from, a renowned mediator from New York down. And it even went on longer than that because at the end we did kind of a process, where the mediator made a recommendation, and if both sides accepted it, it would be accepted, and both sides kind of sat on it for a while, and we tried to get it resolved for over 6 months and couldn't. And unfortunately, we ended up trying the case for 7 weeks in front of a jury, even after all that
mediation.
Sometimes it doesn't work.
And the mediation bill was probably outstanding.
It was.
Ridiculous.
It was.
Wow.
It was.
Gary O'Donnell, you're a shareholder in the litigation practice group, Greenspoon Martyr.
Michael.
You're an experienced civil trial attorney in the Florida Bar. You're a civil trial attorney and Florida Bar Board certified in business litigation. What's the difference between business litigation and commercial litigation?
Well, I think the Florida Bar equates business litigation and commercial litigation to be the same.
I would think so. But you represent individuals and businesses in a broad range of disputes involving real estate, securities, contracts, employment, labor, banking, fair trade, business torts, insurance, product, liability. Got to take a breath. Technology and intellectual property, also tax.
So now you're talking about how old I am.
No, how experienced you are. But sincerely, my friend, you're so well known. I speak to a lot of attorneys, such as today, and they are asking me who's coming on, and I mention your name. And he says, oh, isn't he with Greenspoon Martyr? I said, yeah, he's a fine attorney. You're well known out there.
Well, thank you.
I mean that and as well. You know, we only have 2 minutes left. But as a board-certified attorney in business litigation, and that's why I rattled off all the areas, if you have a business dispute and you need some good advice or a very competent attorney, I mean, Michael Santucci, you don't get better than that as an endorsement, I mean, sincerely. What is the best way to contact you?
Well, on our firm's website, gmlaw.com, mm-hmm. and we're a full-service firm.
You're not kidding. You're all over the place. You're in
and
everything.
And we're in a lot of places, too.
You certainly are. Greenspoon and Martyr is a well-known firm down here, and I believe you have now over 19 locations.
And counting.
And counting, yeah, as well. And I Googled you before I came in, but I got to let our audience know it's Gary with two R's, G-A-R-R-Y, O'Donnell, O-D-O-N-E-L-L, and I added GM Law. Seriously, and he came right up. Very easy. Really good website. A lot of the information I have in front of me is there as well. Mike?
All right. Thanks, everybody. Thank you especially to our guest, Gary O'Donnell. I want to thank my co-hosts, criminal attorney Gary Ostro and Phil Bell. And hoping to see Gary Singer back next week.
Well, Gary Singer thinks it's criminal that Gary Ostro is.
Yeah. It's good that he wasn't here. We'd have three Garys on
the
show. Oh, my God.
Right?
That'd be terrible.
Two's enough, terrible. Trust me.
Yeah. But please send in your comments to we'd like to hear what you want to hear more of, less of, maybe who you'd like to hear less of or more of. And send it to info@500law.com. That's info@500law.com. You can also listen to past episodes. If you've been a guest and you want to hear yourself, go to 500law.com. And you could follow the links, and you'll get all of the prior shows in the past year. If you're in the car, please put down your phone. There's plenty to listen to on the radio. And remember, everyone,
be legal!
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review. featuring Michael Santucci from the law firm of Santucci Priori, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation. They can be reached at 500law.com or at 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to belegalbuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448 for legal news and review. Remember, be legal.
Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Do you need an attorney? Call someone you can trust. The Broward County Bar Association, a not-for-profit organization, was founded in 1925 to foster courtesy, ethics, and professionalism, as well as to provide necessary legal services throughout South Florida. The Broward County Bar Association, 3,000 members strong, has attorney members that work throughout the entire state of Florida, as well as nationally and internationally. Remember, the Broward County Bar Association is a referral you can count on. Call the Broward County Bar Association at 954-764-8310 for all your legal needs. A referral you can count on. 954-764-8310 or contact online at browardbar.org. Non-lawyer spokesperson.